Hi, this is Tiffany Montgomery, number one Essence Magazine bestselling author, and you're listening to the Ask Patricia Show.
Hey, welcome to today's Ask Patricia Show. I'm your host, Patricia Benjamin, alongside
Danielle Drama.
Yes, she is back. Yes. All right, Danielle, we're still talking women's health.
Yes.
October, so yes. It is Breast Cancer Awareness. Great show last time with Dia Direct. Love that.
I know. I really thought she came up with some really interesting points. And even though it was kind of like a short interview,
it was intense.
And if you guys have heard it, you know what we're talking about. But we're really interested to take this Breast Cancer Awareness Month further and really talk to you guys more about it.
Particularly, did you notice she was saying, obviously being women of colour ourselves, that women between 15 and 40 years of age, African-American women, the leading cause of death, breast cancer.
I know.
So we need to get with the program, yeah? And as Dia said, we need to love ourselves. Well, today we've got somebody who has gone through breast cancer and come out the other side, who is a survivor, and she's going to share her story. So pull up a chair. You're listening to The Arts Patricia Show.
I feel a cold flush going from my hair and hey, you know what? I don't even care, the time has passed me by. It's gone with the wind, it's all because the sun shined once again. Now the party's on, everybody's saving. If you don't know anyone, you'll still meet some new friends. That's the way it is. When I have myself a drink, I'll be because the sun shined once again. Let the sun shine, let the sun shine, baby. Because the sun shined once again. So play that sweet tune, play it through the air and the volume. Raise it up, don't you ask me twice. You know I'm gonna get all because the sun shined once again. So get the sunshine, let the sun shine.
Labyrinth opening today's Arts Patricia Show. Let the sun shine. All right, well, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I've got my guest today, the fantastic Maggie Gardner, who has a story to share. Maggie, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Good to be on your show.
Great to have you. Let me introduce my co-presenter, the lovely Danielle.
Hello, Maggie. How are you?
I'm not too bad, Daniel, and how are you?
I'm great. I'm really excited to have a chat with you today and really listen to what you have to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for choosing me. We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, over here in the UK, and I believe in the US as well, Maggie, it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we know that you've had a bit of a personal experience of this particular disease, and you've come out the other side. So we're really wanting to have a chat with you to encourage so many other women. So tell us a little bit about your story, Maggie. How did you discover it? How did things start for you?
Well, I found it actually when growing up in the Caribbean, we were told when you go to bathe, you have to clean your ears and everywhere.
Right.
So I was examining my breast,
mm-hmm.
and I noticed that there was some fluid coming from it.
Right.
So I thought that I scratched it by cleaning it a bit too hard.
Right.
So I checked it again a couple of weeks after. And then I noticed that the fluid coming out was a bit dark.
Right.
So I called my doctor, and he said to monitor it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because we had no idea. We did a mammogram.
Oh, right.
We didn't see anything at all.
Right.
So I had to monitor it for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
to figure out what time, what side, in other words, they call the breast a clock. So I have to figure out what time on the breast or what time on the clock where it was coming from.
Right.
Seeing that the mammogram and even the ultrasound did not show.
Wow.
So I found out it was coming from 9 o'clock, which is next to the other breast.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent the fluid to get tested, and it came back possible malignant.
Wow.
So I said, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
They wasn't sure. So the doctor went in and he cut the area.
Right.
And found out that the duct, one of my ducts,
yes,
was infected.
Right.
And then under the duct was the cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Mm.
So that's why they call it ductal carcinoma in situ.
So
that's how it was found, by me examining the breast.
Right, right. I thought... 6 months. Why was it 6 months, for example? It just seems quite a long time to just watch something which may have quite a negative possibility in outcome.
Yeah, one, because I had no history in my family.
Right.
And because I was a bit young, as you said, and the mammogram didn't show it.
Right.
And the ultrasound didn't show it.
Right.
So that's what, those were the reasons. Why?
Right. So once you were told it was malignant, what happened next, Maggie?
Well, it's like I was out of body. It was an out of body experience.
I'm sure.
And I was there. I wasn't hearing a word that the doctor was saying.
Mm.
So my boss at the time, you know, it's good to be nice to your boss.
Yes.
Went with me, and she was my ears and my mouth. In other words, she listened for me.
Right.
And she asked the questions, because this was quite a bit of a shock.
Of course, yeah. Yes.
You know? So mm-hmm. that's what happened, and that's when life, cancer begins.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the thing is, as you said, it felt like an out-of-body experience. Did it feel like it was happening to something, to somebody else? Was it hard?
Yes. It was like somebody else's story. It wasn't somebody else's life. It wasn't me, you know.
Yeah.
I ate healthy. I love to dance. I don't smoke. I never drink. I never do drugs. Nothing like that. And it's like, no, this is not me. It's somebody else's life. It was easier to be that way. So at least I can get through one day at a time until the surgery.
Right. And how soon was the surgery from the date of, you know, being told, okay, this is the result, it is malignant, it is cancer. How long did you have to wait for surgery?
Oh, we went the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And because we had no exact size and area directly to work with, he went in and he cut out a margin, and cut out some of the tissues. That's what they call it, cutting out the margin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then it saw me back up, sent it to the lab.
Mm-hmm.
It came back positive. We had to wait another week or two.
Mm-hmm.
He went back in, cut it out, cut a wider margin. It came back positive. I said, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Then we have to go back in after 2 more weeks, and then he cut a wider margin. They call it partial mastectomy.
Mm-hmm.
So eventually it came out that the margin was negative.
Right.
So that was a big relief. So after three tries, we finally got all of the cancer.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So I would imagine you going through that, not only is it a physical upheaval, you know, for your body and mentally as well, but I would think that emotionally, this would be a pretty hard time for you, Maggie.
Yes, it was, because this is something foreign that you know, I was in hospice and I take care of people and all of that. But when it happens to you, it is so overwhelming, and it's not like it's not real,
yes,
you know?
Yes.
So most of the time I pretended it wasn't me.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, just to get through the day, you know, and, you know, I make believe. It's amazing what your mind can allow you to do.
Absolutely.
I think, Maggie, as you say that, I mean, I think that's so true. I mean, obviously, you'd had to go back several times, you know, to get this the test done and to see what it would reveal, and then again have the partials taken out. But at what point during all of this sort of process did you not snap out of it, but I would say sort of realize that, wow, this is actually happening? I mean, would you, because I know you said you'd had to sort of separate yourself from it just to sort of get through the day, but at what point did it sort of all hit you, so to speak, and it became very, very real to you?
I think the second time.
Yeah.
The first time, you know, as I said, as I was out in space.
Yeah.
The second time is when it really, you know, because going into the hospital and not having anybody there except some friends when you wake up, and that part was hard when you see everybody else with their family and you're alone.
Mm.
So then it really hit me, this thing is really happening to me.
Mm.
So that's when, you know, I start really feeling and experiencing those all kinds of emotions.
Yeah.
So, Maggie, you're saying about other people seeing them with their family. At the time, did you have a husband and children? What was your position right then?
I had a husband,
mm-hmm.
but he was in Florida at the time.
Right.
He never came to see me.
Hmm. Oh, goodness.
So I was on my own. Yep, I told him, first cancer.
Right.
The first one, he never came. The second one, he never came. The third one, I tell him, don't even bother to come.
Good
grief. You know, and he did not come up, you know. So I was on my own. A friend, my best friend was there, but he has to go back to his family. So basically, you know, I was there with the help of God.
Mm.
So it was rough.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, you expect your husband to obviously be there.
That's so strange. I mean, I know you said at the beginning, Maggie, you were slightly in denial, having to pretend almost it was somebody else. Do you think your husband just couldn't accept this was happening to his wife?
Probably he couldn't handle it either, you know, because that's what I've been noticing, that people are splitting up. Men are leaving women leaving men, because this thing is cancer, and when they hear cancer, everybody thinks it's a death sentence.
Mm.
Right.
So, so
immediately, you know, they can't handle it, instead of trying to find a way. So the easiest way is to get out, you know.
Oh, wow.
So that's what happened to me.
So you didn't have the emotional support. So who did you have? Were you completely on your own? I mean, come on, at this time is when you need your family.
My family was in the Caribbean and in Georgia.
Right.
I live in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
But I myself, what I did, I minimized the severity of the cancer.
Mm.
So I didn't really tell them exactly what was going on, because I didn't want them to worry.
Mm.
I didn't want my mom to get sick, you know. And at the time when you're going through the cancer, I don't know if it's like that in England, but I have some idea that family would want to tell you everything, what to do.
Yeah.
When to eat and when to sit down and when to sleep.
Yes.
And all of that. And that, at the time when someone is going through the cancer, those things you don't want to hear. You want to do exactly how you're feeling at the time.
Mm. Right,
you know?
Right.
But the good thing about it, at the time where I was working, I had a lot of residents, the older people in assisted living.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like my therapy.
Right.
Because after I was able to go back to work, you know, they were able to be there for me and come up to me and tell me their stories. And
mm-hmm.
in other words, they had somebody to identify with.
Yeah.
That part was very helpful.
Because you had people around you that understood how you were feeling. And, you know, in a way, it just seems because you hadn't really let on to your family just how severe the cancer was. It's like, in a way, you're trying to protect them and so that you can obviously remain and sort of preserve some sort of control yourself, but then also having the outlet of people that understand, you know, how you're feeling because they're in a similar position. And I think a lot of people with serious illnesses tend to do that quite a lot because they don't want the extra drama, you know. Mm. Like you say, you want to be in control, you want to do what you want, but at the same time, you don't want to worry everybody else. Mm, so you downplay how serious it is. But at the same time, I think it's good that you had, you know, this
support.
Because you need a support network like that. Because, I mean, you mentioned before you felt all kinds of emotions when you were being told that when you're being diagnosed. You know, you go into a state of shock when you hear news like that.
Mm-hmm.
You sort of shut down in a way. Yeah. So I suppose to then go through it a second time, I mean...
Yeah,
it all became very real to you, Maggie. So I just wonder how, where was the turning point after that, after the second diagnosis? When was it very...
5 years
after.
So I was able to get back, you know, to some form of life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't as it used to be,
mm-hmm.
but at least I was able to function back into society because you isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And... I had all the resources that I had, so I didn't have to worry about, you know, even though the husband wasn't there,
right.
I didn't have to worry about how I'm going to live, how I'm going to eat, I just had to focus on me.
Yeah.
So I took Mondays. Monday was my day off, so every Monday was my Monday,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
where I do absolutely nothing for anybody. And
good for you.
I take a bubble bath and everything,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and then, you know, 5 years go by, and then it came back.
Goodness me. When it came back after the 5 years, did you have a sense of, like, I thought I'd beaten this, and you're back again? Did you have any sense of, God, why me? I mean, what did you feel that second time?
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it was coming because I promised myself, never get married again.
Really? Wow.
I went and I did. Actually, I was in England at the time.
Right.
And, it didn't work out again.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew stress is one of the triggers.
Right.
It's not one of the cause, but one of the triggers.
Wow.
And I noticed, because I still had part of the breast, you know,
okay.
and I like breasts, mm-hmm. so at least I take care of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that the breast was getting really, really big, and I had all this cleavage. And I was, it was really good to have the cleavage, but it was very, very painful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then the breast started changing shape.
Really?
And mm-hmm. then it was so red and hot to the touch.
Oh, gosh.
I knew something was, because when you are stressed out, when mm-hmm. you're upset, mm-hmm. when you're angry, which that's not your personality.
Right, yes.
These things, when you hold things inside, because I couldn't talk to anybody, I didn't know, I had to learn your culture there and everything.
Sure.
The place I had to go was Thames Valley Hospice.
Okay.
That was my way out.
Right.
And then I noticed that, so I called my doctors here, and I said, I think something is wrong.
Okay.
This breast, and it actually went in like a shelf, where you have one layer, two layers.
Oh, wow.
So I knew it was
something was wrong, yes.
Yep. So I went over there, and then to the parapet there,
mm-hmm.
and they were more concerned about the calcification that built up in the area where I had the surgery, and I keep telling them something else is wrong.
Right.
So
yes.
I came back
mm-hmm.
for my doctors here to check, and then it was cancer. Again, mm-hmm. I did the mammogram.
Yes.
And the mammogram said I was fine.
Oh, good grief. What
even
is this?
Even when it was obvious to the eye.
Yeah, of course.
So the doctor tell me, whether rain, sunshine, go and do an ultrasound.
Yes.
We did an ultrasound, and then we did a biopsy.
Mm-hmm.
Had
mm-hmm.
to pinpoint exactly where the cancer was.
Yes.
With the ultrasound, we
right.
found it.
Mm-hmm.
And he insert, what do you call it, like a stent, so
okay.
that when the doctor go in to operate, he would find the cancer. This time it was at 3 o'clock under my arm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah.
But I was very fortunate because it came back in the same breast
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
not the other one.
Right.
You know. So I had a choice to do chemotherapy and take out as much of the tissue as possible or take the whole breast.
Right.
And, you know, still have some chemo, but I said I don't want any chemo.
Okay.
But we took the breast.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
mm-hmm.
I just tell them, give me a bigger one.
Okay.
And the nurse is looking at me, the doctor just tell you have cancer, you're asking for a bigger cup. You know, so that was my way of coping again.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got back here, I was working, and my patient, she was 101.
Wow.
And then okay. at the same time when I was diagnosed, she died.
Mm-hmm.
So there goes my job.
Oh, I see. Yes, yes.
No.
What?
So I had no insurance. I had
oh, wow.
just a little bit of money.
Yes.
So I was on my own again, and
oh,
their
gosh.
Life started coming at me.
Yeah.
You know, and
gosh.
I was so sure that I was going to get some assistance
mm-hmm.
from the organizations that I raise funds for and,
yeah. right.
and
yes.
help.
Yes.
But to my great surprise, that was the big shocker. Mm-hmm. I wasn't qualified for certain assistance.
Oh, wow.
You know,
why was you not qualified for certain assistance, Maggie?
If you don't have children,
mm-hmm.
they have certain category. If
right.
you have any, if you have a car worth more than $500, you have to get rid of it.
Oh my goodness!
If you have, let's say, $3,000 in the bank, you know that has to be gone first. And
wow.
I didn't know that
mm-hmm.
this side exists
mm-hmm.
until when it happens to me, because everything was going out, nothing was coming in. And
mm-hmm.
you have to go through so many people, and they have to ask you so many questions, and you have to present so many paperwork and all of that. You know, and some people, if you don't have certain type of cancer, you don't get any help.
Okay. Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean,
so challenging. So,
yeah.
Wow, the whole situation is challenging. And I want to talk to you about your organisation when I have time. I've only got about 12 minutes, so I want to make time for that. But tell me how you navigated that time to where you are today, Maggie.
Well, the reason why this organisation was created was specifically for what I was telling you.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way for me to get any help.
Right.
And then as I go to groups, support group meeting, I heard people with the same story. They're
wow.
not qualified. If
yes.
they have a house, it works against them.
Yes.
If they have a spouse, it works against them.
Mm.
So I created Gardener's House to help people who've been affected by cancer. And I don't set the bar that high.
Right.
You just have to validate that you're a survivor or
mm.
you're going through the cancer
mm-hmm.
and that you need some help. Sometimes all you need is just a little bit of help.
That's right.
You know, to bridge that gap before
yes.
it becomes so wide
yeah.
that you fall through and you can't get out.
Exactly.
And that is because that's what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to me that I fell into a deep depression.
Oh, wow.
That I did not want to live.
Oh, my goodness.
I prayed every day for God to come and get me because
right.
it wasn't because of the cancer itself,
mm-hmm.
but because of what I was facing, the rejection and all
yeah.
of that. After you work and you pay your taxes, you figure, well, things would be so easy.
Mm.
But it wasn't that easy. So that is why I created Gardener's House.
Wow.
And not only that,
mm.
for that, but for to have somebody to be there for you. Sometimes
yeah.
people call me and all they need is just to validate that what they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
it's real and that they're not crazy.
Wow.
Because you go through all these emotions and all of that. And to point them in the direction of who helped and who didn't help, or to speak up on their behalf, because most of the time people are so private that we don't want to go out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
I
true.
Would do it for them, you know.
Oh, okay.
I would put myself between the rejection and the person, because I don't want them to feel the way that I felt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
So that's what we're doing.
But I mean, I find that's just so amazing, and well done to you. But as you say, you fell through the crack because you weren't getting the help. So how did you get from falling through the crack to saying, God, come and take me, look at my life, to now you founded an organization? How did you get to that space in your mind and your spirit to be able to do this?
Well, because I waited for him and he didn't come. And I said to anybody, when you pray and God don't answer your prayers, please don't be upset with him, because had he taken me, I wouldn't be
you
here.
You wouldn't
today.
Be doing what you're doing now.
You know, wow. So I think it's the fighter in me, and not only that, but seeing other people, because I'm a caregiver.
Right.
I'm a caretaker.
Yes.
So when I see other people are going through and they're hurting,
yes,
I put my feelings and everything inside that. I mean, that is so easy to go on the back burner that I said, I don't want them. I really don't want them to feel, because not everybody can get out of what I've been through.
Yeah.
Right.
Not everybody can get out of that dark room and able to function.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know. I can't tell you how, but I think it's by the grace of God, because probably for a reason for me to be here at this time, to be able to help others who are coming. So while I was hurting, while I was, you know, I just push forward. You know, when I go out, I'll put on this face, this smile, I'll get all dressed up and everything.
Wow.
But when I go back home, I'll fall apart.
Wow.
So nobody saw that side except for God and a few people. So I think my fate has something to do with it, and God had a plan for me.
Yeah, wow, you're such a hero, or Shira, really, I should say. I'm thinking, you know, quite a few people that I've spoken to, that I've interviewed over the months and years, that have gone through really harrowing situations. I think, my goodness, how did you come through? How did you manage? Did you never say, why me? Why this happened to me? Did you ever blame God? And they all say, without exception, that they believe everything happens for a reason, and that they turned it around. So whatever they've gone through, that they can take that and use it to help somebody who is still in that situation, who doesn't have the same strength that they had, and pour in that strength. And you seem to be saying pretty much the same thing, Maggie.
Yes, I never asked. That's one thing I prayed. I said to him, please, don't let me blame you. I blame myself, and I think that's why I end up in depression, because I said I could have known better.
Right.
So I never blame him, and I just ask him to help me to get through one day at a time. Give me the strength.
Yeah.
I never even ask for healing or anything.
Oh, wow.
I just need the strength to get through from one day to the other after he's not coming to get me.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, as I interact with more people, and I find more families, men, women, children, you know, it's like my heart is so, I have so much love to give that I had to give it to somebody, because the man didn't want it, so I had to
put it elsewhere now, Maggie.
So it was so easy to you know, if I'm hurting and somebody walks through the door, I would put me on hold and make sure that they're okay. You know,
it's great, Maggie, because it seems that you are where you need to be now. You know, this is a purpose that you have, as particularly because of what you've experienced. You're then able to channel that now into this advocacy for other people that are now in this situation, and you are that bridge. You know, you're bridging that gap now, and I think this is such a positive thing, that we look at our situation sometimes and they may be bad, and you think, what's the purpose of this? But you don't realize that, you know, later on down the line, there is a purpose for that, and I feel like now this is the fulfillment of that. You see, so it's a really inspirational message here, Maggie,
inspiring.
And it is, you know,
inspiring.
Really teaches
so,
you.
So, what would you say to a woman now that's listening in? As I say, it's breast cancer awareness, and we're really trying to empower women to love themselves and love their bodies. And maybe they're going through that depression, and perhaps they don't have a faith. I mean, what would you say to them right now? How would you encourage such a one?
I would say to women, as Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and everywhere you go, you hear breast cancer, so it can be a bit scary.
Yeah.
But I would let them know that they too can survive.
Right.
It's not a death sentence. Mm. And the first thing you have to do is to love you.
Wow.
It's not easy, because when you look in the mirror and your breast is gone,
yes.
But you have to remember, that your breast does not define you as a woman. What's inside of you, it's more better than the outside. Eventually, if you want to get reconstruction, go and do it. Just remember that it's not something that you did while you had cancer, because it's not, we didn't go looking for it.
That's
it
right.
Came looking for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that people question why it happened to them.
Yes.
So it's the luck of the draw.
Mm-hmm.
So surround yourself with positive people. You're going to lose friends, but you'll make new friends. Family going to leave you, but it's okay, because eventually you're going to come out a bit stronger. And just be true to yourself. If you are going through it and somebody come in to visit and you're not up to them visiting, just be honest, very polite, and let them know, not today. Or if you can only tolerate them for 5 minutes, tell them, look, you know, I can only visit with you for 5 minutes. And try, I know you can't eat a lot, but try to drink a lot of water, find some nourishment, you know, and just take care of you. Rest when you have to rest. Don't push yourself.
Yes.
Right now there is a lady that pushes herself because her family think nothing is wrong with her. I'm trying to tell her, this is your time.
Yes.
You have to take care of you.
Yeah.
You might look good on the outside,
yes,
but the inside. So you are number one right now.
Love that. Number one right now. Now, listen, Maggie, I know that your organization is fantastic as it is. You're probably needing support. Tell us, do you have any events coming up, or how can people hearing about what you do support it in some way?
We're having our Pretty in Pink Ball coming up on Saturday, which is our third annual Pretty in Pink Ball. We'll be honoring cancer survivors and celebrating the lives of those who passed. It's a time for women and even men to come out and feel important, feel pretty.
Yes.
You know, it's your evening to relax without anybody obstructing you or anything, any reservation. It's time for us to honor you. And we're having the walk on the 19th. We'll be walking with the American Cancer Society, but we have a group. And then there is an event coming up. One of the dean from the school, she is putting on Brown Girls for Pink.
Wow.
And that is on October 25th. You can find me at gardenershouse.org. That's www.gardenershouse.org. Or you can find me on Facebook at Gardener's House on Facebook, or Maggie Gardner on Facebook. And we have the phone number, 860-206-7754.
Fantastic. Great ways to interact with you. Well, I have to tell you, Maggie, you've been very inspiring to listen to. And I love the fact that no matter what you've gone through, you're still standing strong, able to help other people, letting them know they're still pretty, pretty in pink, and that they are number one. So, you know, we just wish you so much good success with your organization and good success for yourself, Maggie.
Yes, thank you. And I hope that everyone that's listening would raise awareness in this area of the other side of the cancer. It's not just the treatment. It's not just the type of cancer. But also, you have to be able to live. You have to. You have children. You have basic needs.
Yes.
So that's the area that we are focusing on, finding these important necessities to help people through the cancer. So anybody that wants to be part of it, we are 501c3, that means it's tax deductible, and they can reach me, they can donate, volunteer, whatever. We are open to any kind of support.
Wonderful.
Well, I think that's brilliant, and anything to further the awareness of this type of issue, Maggie, is not going to be a bad thing. So, I mean, we just want more positivity surrounding this, and you're a perfect example of that.
Yeah,
so thank you so much for just being here.
Thanks
and speaking
for talking
with
to us. Thanks for talking to us today, and I think that's an organisation we can stay pretty close to.
Yes, very, very important.
Absolutely. All right, Maggie Gardner, thank you so much for speaking to us on today's Arts Patricia show. It's been so inspiring. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. Do appreciate it.
Lovely. Okay. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye-bye.
Well, that was a fantastic Maggie Gardner there, sharing with us on today's Arts Patricia show. Danielle, honestly, the more I do this show, mm-hmm. I love the fact that I can find amazing people mm-hmm. who are living amazing lives, not just for their own benefit,
yeah.
but to actually make the world more amazing, which is I what know. Maggie's doing.
I think it's really cool. She's such a warm lady. So she comes across as so humble, you know. And despite everything that's happened to her, she's still pushing forward.
I know.
And still going the extra mile for other people.
For others.
Again.
I know.
Yeah, and it really pushes you outside of your own thoughts, you know, to realise that it's not always about ourselves sometimes.
No, it's
I mean,
not.
We are an instrument.
Yeah.
I do believe in certain situations.
I love that, yeah. Yeah, and you Maggie's know? Exactly that. All right, ladies, well, I hope you're inspired. Look after yourself. You are number one and you can be pretty. Remember, do check out Maggie's website, garnershouse.org, and see how you can help. All right, Danielle, you know where we're going right now, don't you?
Do I? I don't know. Where are we going?
Well, we're going right over to the blog.
To the blog.
askpatricia2000.wordpress.com to talk about the issues that have come up on today's show. And we will have some more links there to organisations such as Maggie's that can support you if you're going through breast cancer or you want to learn how to love yourself more. It's been the Ask Patricia Show. We'll see you all next time. But I think, Danielle, you've got a couple of things you need to shout out.
Just a few quick things, guys. Mm. We say this every week. You should know by now. Find us on Twitter. You'll find Ask Patricia at AskPatricia2000. You're going to find myself at DL Drama on Twitter. As I always say, don't be shy. Come say hi.
Okay. All right. And that's us. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Warning. Enter security access code. Systems accessed. Activate.
Just a little bit skinny. Why do I look to all these things?